Life is hectic, demanding, and doesn't stop. When honest with ourselves, we must confess we often don't know what the hell we're doing. The LarkCast is an ongoing conversation about the inclusive and mischievous nature of God's presence through the lens of all the things that make up this phenomenon we refer to as life. Astonishing grace and refreshing honesty collide right here for your weekly encouragement.
Welcome back to the LarkCast. My name's Tony. At least I think it is. On my birth certificate, it's Anthony, but I've gone by Tony my whole life. So I'll respond to Anthony. Anthony.
I like that.
Tony.
Anthony.
And with me's Russ. Hello, Russ. Cheers to you. Good morning. Good sir.
Cheers to you.
Good morning, good sir.
Yes. On this fine morning.
You got your small town mug, little piece of Crown Point in Southwest Florida.
Yeah. Yep. Annette gave me this as a gift, and I think I drink coffee out of it about 3 times a week, man.
Nice. I like that.
Good mug.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find a good mug.
It really is.
Yeah.
I have like 50 mugs, and I use probably 3 of them. And I'm really upset. Like I have a bad start to my morning if one of my favorite mugs isn't available to use. Cause I got four kids at my house that, you know, use my stuff. They use my stuff. They use my shoes, my stuff, my things. I grab my charger. If you're a parent, you know this.
Yep.
Your kids just take your stuff. Don't even ask.
For my dad, man, it was his tools.
Yep.
And his little Debbie snack cakes. True story.
Oh, man.
Yep.
That's hilarious.
Don't get me wrong, you know, like they were bought for the house, man, but you started cutting into his stash or you started eating that ratio above what you were given.
Boy, dude, we've tried everything in our house, you know, putting people's first initials on, you know, Pringles cans and divvying things up, trying to make it equitable, you know. Trying to make it equitable.
You know, this is ultimately what we're talking about here is human beings have a long history of not knowing what to do with freedom.
Yeah, I mean, there's a phrase of the passage we're talking about today, you know, making sure you don't devour one another. And in our house, it's making sure you don't devour the Cheez-Its.
Which is ultimately, right, devouring one another, man. Bro, when you just grab them Cheez-Its, man, and you, like, quietly sneak off while everybody's dialed in on a show and head to some dark corner in a bedroom it's a complete lack of care for the rest of us.
It's selfishness through and through. Yep. Through and through.
It really is.
Hey, I got beef with you and Jamie, dude.
Okay.
I got beef with you guys. Because, man, I was looking forward to this castration passage in Galatians. Mm. I was really looking forward to that one. And
that's concerning.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just something about, a lot of people don't know that that's in the Bible. You know, when I was a youth pastor, I used to drop that one, you know, quite a bit. Just let them know, you know, the scriptures are a little bit more brutally honest and not so. What's the word I'm thinking of? They're not they as got a... not as safe.
It's a good phrase.
Safe and holy, as you might think.
They got a little bite to them.
A little bite. Yep. But no, I was definitely looking forward to doing that one, but I'm glad, you know, the resident Reverend Doctor was able to get on.
Get in there, man.
And chop it up. No pun intended.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, it's a true story, right? You've got, you know, these Galatians, man. Pretty crazy mirror for modern day culture, myself included. Freedom, Christ has set us free. There's this glorious news, and then yet seems to be this religious nature in us that's forever drawn to the religious noise around us. And just, man, give me a handle, right? Give me some sense of control, man. Give me something I can measure. Anything, but have to just... anything, but just having to be here empty-handed. Just great and thankful.
With no agenda.
Right. But I think what I've been learning, I don't know about you, but what I've been learning in this, kind of going through this book on the podcast, is it really is, on one hand, you think that's what you need and want, and it's what will bring fulfillment, and it'll get rid of this like malaise, this void, right, that you sometimes can find yourself like feeling and sitting in. But man, every aspect of religion ultimately is removing you further and further from what it means to actually just be human.
Yeah.
You cease to be a person, man. You actually miss out on so much of, I think, who God is and what he's invited us into.
Mm-hmm.
And what's, to me, like the craziest thing, man, that I just keep seeing week after week after week, is how drawn we are to things that actually undo our humanity. It's such a, man, it's so weird. And as annoyed as I get with it, you know, about it, I find myself guilty of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there has to be something. I mean, there's something in all of us, whether religious or irreligious. It's just a human thing to, you know, kind of see other things, other people, and other opportunities to just move us forward or better our situation. You know, the temptation is there in business. You know, I'm a small business owner, and you know, you know, I have people on the team and stuff like that, and there's ways you can, you know, care for people, and you know, provide a really fair wage with fair expectations and hard work, for sure. But then there's ways you can, you know, there's the temptations to leverage their livelihood against them, put pressure on them, or, you know, the temptation's there, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is probably why Paul says, hey, brothers, you know, don't use your freedom as an opportunity, you know, for the flesh. Don't take advantage of people. Don't use them. Don't bite, don't devour them. Because it's like, whether the freedom's there or the freedom's not there, it's just a human impulse.
It is 100%. And I think, you know, you got Paul coming out of, you know, what we got into in the last episode, where he's just really making this case. And just, hey, just so we're clear, guys, those of you who are really pushing religion in the name of faith and robbing people of the freedom that God's given them, yeah, I hope as you're preaching this religion, this circumcision, I hope the knife slips, right? As he says in verse 12, he comes out of that. Verse 13 says, as you were just mentioning, basically it's almost like a, word for there. You know, whenever you see that, you know, I always say then you need to stop and look at what, you know, for is there for. And for freedom, right?
That was your, you that was your pastor moment.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was your 100%. Pastoral moment.
And I practiced that one in the mirror about 3 or 4 times before we got on here. Just kidding. But yeah, you were called to freedom, man. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Man, just a couple verses. We could keep going, but I feel like that's enough, dude. There's something extremely relevant right there for all of us. Every human being that's ever lived or will live. You were called to freedom, just so we're clear. You weren't called to anything else. You were called to freedom. And just so we're clear, you don't have to use that as an opportunity for what you think freedom is. But instead, you can allow what the maker of freedom has defined as freedom to shape how you experience your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what you're going to go pursue in the name of freedom is actually going to be you using everything and everyone for your own sense of justification.
Mm-hmm.
You'll do it in the name of love, but it's not. It's right. Actually always just about you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, you will be devouring people. Yep. And then in response, they're going to devour you. And in short, you're going to consume one another. You're mm-hmm. going to, you're both going to cease to be human altogether.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think that's, that would be the RJV right there.
Yep. Yeah. It's a simple thing, really, you mm-hmm. know, and we all know it because we've all probably been on the receiving, you know, end of it where we felt like we weren't really being cared for or being used. No matter the environment, there is something I think unique about religious environments, spiritual environments, you know, that really push this, just because, you know, it's told to us like, man, we really need to, like, you know, prove that we're disciples. We really need to be disciples, you know, in this world. And that has like a personal piety, you know, angle yeah. to it, but then it also has this sort of like fruitful impact, you know, kind of angle to it as well. And then we usually platform and raise up and give positions to the most ambitious and passionate of yeah. people who are really good at rallying the troops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rallying yeah. the troops. To do all that God intended for us in this world. So they're starting nonprofits and planting churches and, you know, rallying the troops, man.
What would Jesus do without us?
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a scene that's played out everywhere, man. I've been on the receiving end and on the giving end.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. But I think what we have to pull back and look at here is just an understanding that, and I think Michelle actually said it really well. In fact, I'm just going to quote him on it so I don't butcher it. He says that we live at a time and in a culture that defines freedom the way the Bible defines sin, complete autonomy. But the word autonomy, okay, in Greek, literally means to be a law unto your own self, which is a good definition as any for godlessness. To be free, our culture tells us, is to be free from external constraints and from the claims of others. Freedom, so understood, is the liberty to be left alone. Freedom is the latitude to do what you want as an individual. And I was looking at that, and I'm like, man, that's so key in this understanding, I think, is was what Paul's unpacking here. complete autonomy, self-reliance, right? That is how the Bible defines capital S sin, the nature of sin that runs in our veins. It's why what Adam and Eve were guilty of, we're all still guilty of today. This spirit of self-reliance that runs in us. And it's just spot on, man. Like, to be, you're talking about autonomy is to be a law unto yourself. Like, dude, that is godlessness. That's what it is. And so what Paul's saying here is, like, we need to understand that to be human, okay, is to be dependent upon the God who already united himself to you. To live in dependence on him, okay, which is by definition faith, to live in that dependence upon him. For him defining who you are, not you defining who you are, is to be free. And so, the way Peterson describes it is think of it as the ultimate opportunity now. So going back to last week's episode, if God is love, okay, by definition, if God is love, and freedom by definition is dependence, well, we have now been given this opportunity for freedom, right? You were called to freedom. You've been given this opportunity by faith to step into this way of dependence, and in that freedom to join in on the God who is love, the God who is at work in you and on you and through you. To do so is to actually learn what it means to be a person, to be human. And it's also a way to which to honor other people and teach them, right, how to be human. But if you miss this with your jacked up understanding of the word freedom and God and love and faith, I think it's what Paul's been getting at, man, for chapters now, will actually result in the opposite. You're going to cease to exist because you'll just keep devouring one another. You'll do it in the name of love. You call it religion and beautiful and of God and for his glory. But really, you're just all using one another to your own end. It's quite sad.
Yeah, I think it's what we're talking about right now is, for the people who, have been burnt and used, in the name of church and Jesus, is probably something that, all of a sudden, like, names and situations, are probably coming to the surface as we're talking about this. It's it probably has a fresh sting, as some people think about this. And I would venture to guess that, there are a lot of people who, like, know enough about that world to know, like, they don't really want much to do with it anymore. Like, they're not, like, they're not opposed to, like, church services and, stuff like that. They just kind of know, like, once you really start getting in there, Like, it's one thing to just kind of, like, attend. But, man, like, every church is someone's project. Everyone's ministry is someone's project. Yeah. And so there's a suspicion, that most people, carry. And I think that that's, that's kind of the crew, that's tuning in, to the Larkcast. And learning how to be free and re-engaging, this idea of ministry, loving people without the structure, the 4-point plan, and doing that in the name of freedom. Man, I'm 8 years removed from, like, a vocational, ministry, like, experience. And I feel like I'm still learning that, man. I feel like those strings attached and that those angles, they're still there, for me. Yeah. And I'm aware of them. And a lot of times I think when I see that, or my mind gets to, racing about, maybe kicking something up around here, or, just like really doing anything. And I'm just very, very aware of my own heart. And a lot of times I see it and then just kind of like, just back off of, certain ideas, just because I know, what needs to be done to get that thing done, and it's in some of my most like honest, deepest reflections, like some of the things that like some of the things I carry and think about are burdensome to a degree, in that they're weighty, they're thoughts I can't, control. They're things that like I think about, I have concern about, I have, visions or plans about or whatever. I think you understand what I'm saying. I think some, mm-hmm. I think the listener is understanding like what I'm saying. Yeah, just trying to figure out, and be okay with a life of just friendship.
Yeah.
Without anything to name or brand or do or rally people around, and just being okay with that. And I would say probably 70% of the time I'm okay with it, but there's that 30%. I don't know if it's that hangover of like my past that, is telling me like, man, you're not having enough impact. You're not doing enough. You're not doing what you were like called to do. But every time I try to engage that thing, you just see this bite, devour, use, and consume people for a cause. It's just, it's right there, man. It's right there.
It's tricky, man. It's tricky. I think it's why we got to keep reminding ourselves and one another the verse that we just read right there in verse 13, chapter 5. For you were called to freedom. For you were called to freedom. This is my calling. And I think that allows us to look at some of these things, man. Because you're right. Like, think about all the pushback, dude, that we've heard over the years in teaching this. Okay? You're teaching the scriptures, man. You're unpacking it, like, right here in original text and meaning, over and over, various things, stories. And almost every time, man, you've got, like, leaders from the church world, not all, not just, right, like, there's, and they all come back with that same pushback, and it's right here what we're talking about.
Yeah,
man, but brothers, don't use your freedom for, just for you, man. Don't, you guys are just, you're just teaching people to use their freedom for them. And it's like, no, we're just letting freedom be as reckless as it is. We're letting it be how Jesus defined it. We're letting that have its impact naturally by the Spirit of God, as it just gets to sit there constantly in front of us and saying, hey, what would you do today if you knew you were held by a love that would never let you go?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't get
and
over
you'll probably
that,
sit
man.
With that question for your lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a guy named Albert Camus in his Nobel Peace Prize award speech said, liberty is dangerous. As hard to get along with as it is exciting. I read
That's
that.
A good
I was
one.
Like,
I like that one.
Like, there it is, man. It's like, yeah, it is nerve-wracking. But as I've met with these leaders over the years, and I used to be there, like, I get you've got this heart to do something, but why are you pushing back on all that Jesus has done and declared about freedom? Where you keep coming back to the same verse, and over the years, time and time and time again, what seems to always be the case, buried down underneath, is this fear that people are going to take this free invitation to go live a life of faith with Jesus in the everyday flows of friendship, and they won't be here. And without a crowd, okay, without Without the nickels and the noses I need to build this thing, how will I assure myself that I matter? I think, dude, that's what I've found time and time again, is that's what it just comes down to. You're using this verse as a warning out of fear, because people won't come to your thing, man, if they really grab onto this and go live into it.
And think about the word called. You know, how many times have we heard that word, you know, over the years?
Oh, dude, like, it's like, it's brutalized.
Well, it was like, dude, we had like all this like language and almost like a brand new Testament written around the word called, as to like what it is and what it isn't, and how to like ask the right 100%. Questions to make sure someone really truly is called, and all these like assessments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, the people who are really serious about, you know, ministry, like developing your calling or getting a sense of your calling, and I'm called to this and I'm called to that. And you know, the imagination around calling usually was only stoked by the same buckets, you know, in the church world, and usually framed within the things that served, you know, the institution or broader right. Christendom, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny how everyone was called to like some of the same things. There was no creativity around it at all. And just to see here that you're called to freedom. Freedom is my calling.
Yeah.
Freedom is my calling.
I think that's a great phrase, man. And it's very simple and very true. Freedom is my calling. Okay, so free to do what? Well, as we were talking again in last week's episode, as God who is love has his effect on you, you start to experience the beauty, man, of the fruit of that love making its way in and through you. And man, that's just straight up life-giving. You start to look like a human. This thing that God created to live in this beautiful, dependent, freeing relationship marked by love. Mm. Oh, dude, it's like, amen, right? And I think that's where it goes, man. And just to make this a quick connection here, like, I think, you know, just speaking to what you were saying earlier, Tony, like this desire to help people, man, to teach people, to see people grab on to this calling of freedom. Amen, man. I think friendship is the way. And I do think you can gather people together, man, to celebrate that. I'm 1,000% for that. In fact, I want to help more people do that. Mm-hmm. But just think of what happens when you can do that with an understanding of the church is who we are. And so now you don't have this individual thing that you've got to brand and build and start turning everybody into a piece of the, you know, to make the machinery work. But instead, it's like, no, we're just going to go be friends who love people and pass on scandalous news. And we'll have some fun and we'll get together and celebrate. And we'll keep it with an open hand. Now, everything in my past was like, well, no, you've got to, right? And then you go through all your checklist of what's got to happen here, man, for this thing to, you know, to count. And now I get to look at that through that lens of this verse. No, man. For freedom. It's called to freedom. They were called to freedom. We'll just freely get together as the Lord leads. And where this thing goes, it goes, man. And I think that is what love looks like. Right? It's not a to-do list. It's not even a list you keep. In fact, it's extremely messy. Like, love is messy. There's mm-hmm. nothing tidy about it. Yeah, a it life of love is messy.
Certainly isn't efficient.
Yeah. But it's beautiful. And it's subversive. And it's meaningful. And I mean, not to sound cliche, but it's life changing.
Yeah, and it's not an easy journey into into freedom.
Yep.
At all. So if you're, man, if you're wrestling with this, like, don't really necessarily get it, man, join the club. You know, like, we're all trying to figure it out.
Just to make a connection here to the verse in relation to what we're saying, a guy named Herbert McCabe, in a book called Law, Love, and Language, does this whole breakdown on the commandments, which he ties like right in here to what Paul's saying in Galatians. Like, you know, you were called to freedom, so don't, you know, use this to devour one another, but instead love one another. Like, this is what we've been invited into. McCabe says, I love this, the law is actually a charter of liberation. The commandments are basically the ways in which we learn to live not as slaves to the false gods, okay? And very often, right, we're our own false god, just to be clear. He says, but as subjects of the true and the living God. McCabe observes how all of the animals God has made, I love this, we are the only animals in creation who know not how to be creatures. Thus, to be free is to be schooled in the vulnerability, contingency, and dependence that constitutes creaturehood. Out of all the animals out there, we're the only ones who are trying to be something other than what we are. Bro, that is the story of the Bible. That is the very meaning and essence and reason for the incarnation. God decided to become what we're all trying to overcome, our humanity, to show us the beauty of what it means to be human and to set us free so that we could once again experience the very thing we were made to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's signaling at the commandments, McCabe makes this case that all the commandments, all of them are all rooted, right? All of them in Jesus, of course, right? This is where he gets this from. They all find their essence in love of God, which naturally is a love of others. And it's in that way of love that you've been set free for. Okay, not something to go strive to do, but a love again. God is love, so it's him having his way in and through you. This is the beauty of what it means to be human. So, man, of course you were called to freedom. How else would you learn to love?
Right.
How else would you learn what it means to be human and to learn to be content in that place of dependency?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I love it, man. I'll end right here. He says, in looking at the letter of Galatians, it's not that the purpose of the law is not to justify you. I'm sorry, in saying that the purpose of the law is not to justify you is not to suggest that the law has no purpose. The purpose of the law, Paul is making very clear to us throughout this book, is to teach you how to be human. So you see this beautiful case, right, that Paul like has been, you know, in a very genius way has been making. He's been building. It's been moving us from this delusion, right, that they had all grabbed onto, and he's just moving them. He's disillusioning them, right? He is moving them to reality. This is your reality. For freedom, Christ already set you free. In fact, you were called to it. And he's not running around and saying, but let's just make sure that we don't take that and go run off into the, you know, do a bunch of, you know, crazy things. Or let's just make sure that we don't take that and not show up here every Sunday because we got this thing to build, you know. It's like, no. No, you were called to freedom. So recline in this good news and join in the adventure of what the God who is love is doing in you.
Yeah, and if you've been on the self-salvation project or, you know, the ambitious impact train, you know, your journey
good into word.
Really embracing, you know, this freedom might be a little bit of a long one. And if it's hard and violent, you know, at times, and if you're like me and you're like constantly in your head, you know, about, you know, these things, you're not alone. But
nope.
Man, and if you're at a place, not seeing people as commodities, not seeing people as, you know, pieces on a chessboard or a whiteboard or whatever, man, just like just getting rid of that string, you know, right there for someone who, you know, used to be, you know, in ministry, that it catapults, you know, the freedom, you know,
it does
conversation, for sure. So yeah, no, this is good. It was good for me just to consider this and think about it.
Yeah. And in that freedom, man, if you're someone who does have a love and a bunch of people, or a bunch of people that are around you, and you say, you know what, I'm going to start pulling everybody together, man, just to celebrate the scandalous news once a month.
Yeah.
Why not? Go do it.
Yeah.
Do it. And that's not turning them into a project.
Tell. No, and I think you can tell, like, what is really like a joy and a passion for you, you know, versus versus something that's, you know, coming out of a lot of anxiety or expectation, you know, or fear. So it's a heart thing that we need to ultimately all, you know, kind of grapple with.
I would agree with that. There's ambitious is a tricky thing, man, and I've seen a lot of ugly come out of it.
It's a good thing,
too. But I've
also
seen, yes, I'm saying, I've also seen some beauty come out of good ambitions.
Yeah, ambition might not be the best word, just because, you know, there it is that neutral thing, you know, depending on the heart which is grabbing onto it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen people just, you know, just knowing you, man, how you're made, you know, what we got a 10-year friendship coming up here, man. Here, 10 years of hanging out and laughing, eating, encouraging each other, passing on good news, training people, right? Just the list, right, goes on and on and on. I can
yeah,
say,
met
dude,
you
just
in July of 2014.
Yeah, I would say it'd be very, very natural to who Jesus is in you, for you to go be a friend with no strings attached, meeting people, passing on good news, diner conversation here, bar stool conversation there, right? Driveway conversation here. That's a very natural way of life for you, man. That's someone who would be free in Jesus. But with that, you being a dude who says, hey, we're not branding this thing, but second Sunday of every month, 5 p.m. good news party. All are welcome. Period.
Yep.
Bro, that would be as natural as the freaking day is long for you.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And nobody there would be a part in a machine. Just because I think of how you would see them and how you see the church and how you see even the whole freaking reason for the one church in the world getting together in places.
It's almost like picking booze back up after you, like, you know, got sober, though.
Yep. It's a good analogy.
You're like, oh, man, I feel pretty sober. I feel pretty free from this alcoholism. I'm going to give West Coast Hazy IPAs another shot. I'm going to give rye whiskeys another shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm gonna do pretty good.
And that's different, man, than I think I'm gonna go plant this thing in my town and we're gonna call it this.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Which is a little bit more of somebody saying, you know what, I think I could probably chop this up and snort this one line. I mean, it's not two lines.
All right, we're ending this LARCast before this turns into a coaching session.
Oh man. Yeah, I was just laughing. Yeah, dude. I think you're spot on, man, with your analogy. You can pick up that West Coast IPA, whoever you are out there. You're called to freedom. That love has its effect on you. Where Jesus leads and what you naturally have a heart to do, that's good and beautiful, go do it.
Called to freedom, baby.
Go do it. And to that we say,
cheers.
Cheers.